Mr. Croteau.
That was a good catch, actually.
May it please the court, my name is Guy Croteau on behalf of Mohammed Suhan, petitioner on a petition for review on appeal of a Board of Immigration order denying request to continue his removal proceedings until the government had the opportunity to finalize its processing of the labor certification application and ordering him removed.
Just because these are short arguments, let me put on the table the two things that I would appreciate your addressing. The first is the jurisdictional argument that the government has raised in its motion to dismiss the petition for review for lack of jurisdiction on the idea that we have no jurisdiction over these discretionary actions. And the second, I just wanted to clarify, because one of the points that concerns, let's say, the merits of the decision for the continuance is that Mr. Suhan had not yet filed a petition for the necessary visa that he was going to need to work. So one of the elements that was necessary to make him approvable was not in place, and it's my understanding that you can have these applications proceeding simultaneously, that there's no necessary sequence of first getting, let's say, the approval from the state and then filing the visa and so on. Then normally, in fact, they go in tandem. But if that's wrong, I would appreciate your telling me that, and those are two points I would like to have clarified.
Normally, Your Honor, the labor certification, if it's filed pursuant to the Department of Labor regulations, has to go through the state workforce agency first, which in this case was the Illinois Department of Employment Security.
So is it your position then that he would not have been even entitled to file his application for the visa until the Illinois Department of Employment Security finished its processing?
Absolutely, that's correct.
And
that's
in a regulation someplace?
It is, Your Honor, I do not have a citation for that. It's in the Department of Labor regulations.
Okay.
And it goes from the state workforce agency, which first has to verify the effect on the state workforce agency, and then it goes to the Federal Department of Labor, whereupon it can be certified. After that, the I-140 petition for alien
Could
labor.
Could you keep your voice up? I can't hear you.
After that, the I-140, the actual application by the employer for the alien worker is filed. And
so you would need to append to the I-140 the decision of the state agency?
Absolutely. Actually, the Department of Labor. The Department of Labor receives the initial approval from the state agency first, then the Department of Labor certifies the labor certification, and then the I-140 and 45 can be filed concurrently, but only after the approval. And that's actually part of the situation here. Counsel had raised the question of the abuse of discretion, not granting jurisdiction on the court. The facts in that Eighth Circuit case that he referred to, Oninkwa, which was just a couple weeks ago, is on an entirely different set of facts, and it really only relates to a question of continuing the removal proceeding on the basis of a refiled visa petition after the first visa petition had been denied. In this situation, this is Mr. Suhan's original petition.
Please speak louder.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Grant or deny.
But the point would be, you know, one exercise of discretion versus another might not be critical here if the idea is you shouldn't be dragging the courts of appeals into every discretionary decision whether to grant a continuance. I mean, I think there's a serious issue whether that's a jurisdictional flaw or whether that's simply something for which we would give tremendous deference to the immigration judge, as we normally do, whether it's a district judge. In fact, in the end, I'm not sure whether it makes a huge amount of difference, but technically it certainly does.
Normally, great deference is given to the immigration judge, Your Honor. There is a different situation, however, if the abuse of discretion denies the individual due process, which is what we, one of the things that we are alleging here.
But how many continuances was he supposed to have? Because the one thing one could say about your argument is, construing it practically, it means that the immigration judge simply can't render a decision in these kinds of cases until pending applications in the process are finally resolved one way or the other.
Actually, our position is that he should not have been placed in removal proceedings in the first place until after his application had been processed.
Has he offered any evidence at all that the outcome of the hearing would have been different had he obtained a continuance?
He had presented, and it was entered in evidence, his application, which was then pending with the Illinois State Labor Force, and it was approvable at the time that it was filed.
Now, your opponent said you've appended something indicating final approval, but your opponent says that's not part of the record.
It was not part of the initial record. It came into being after the fact, after he had already been ordered removed, et cetera. And
so could he file a motion for reconsideration at this point, or to reopen?
I thought I'd lost a few hours.
That may in fact be, Your Honor, but to the extent that it's beyond the 30 days or the 90 days which the INA allows for the filing of a motion to reopen.
So it'd be your position he's time-barred from a motion to reopen, even though he's in this somewhat surreal position of having now a ruling on the employment position, but we have to pretend that he doesn't.
I believe that's correct.
I don't understand your position that he shouldn't have been put in removal proceedings while his application was pending. I mean, he's here illegally.
Absolutely, Your Honor.
So he can be removed, right?
Well,
how can you say someone comes in on the, you know, wrong visa, and then he can't even be placed in removal proceedings while he exhausts all possibilities for somehow converting his illegal status to his legal status?
That's exactly what 245I was all about.
Suppose he shows up at O'Hare or something, doesn't have a passport, doesn't have a visa, and he says, well, you can't deport me because, you know, I'm going to seek various avenues for converting my status.
But it's your position that the particular provision of the statute that refers to filing of these things takes him out of the category of most illegally present aliens?
Yes, and
I would say he couldn't be removed before he filed.
He could have been removed before.
You said he could or couldn't?
He could have been removed before he filed. He was in an illegal status. He was an overstay. He came in on a valid visa, but he overstayed his time here.
So now what's your argument? He overstayed the visa, so he could be removed. But if he's not removed immediately, then he can't be removed until all these...
Well, Section 240...
adjustment procedures are complete. Is that what you're saying?
Well, once he filed, I thought you were saying that he then fell under the statute.
That's correct.
And Section 245... And to make the statute operative, there's somehow an override on the removability rules until the application is adjudicated.
That's correct. And that's exactly what Section 245I was all about. The government allowed... They said that even if you're in one of these classifications, even if you entered illegally, even if you are an overstay, even if you worked without authorization, all of those would prevent you from adjusting status normally and you would be removable. We are going to allow you to become legal, to adjust your status, if you do certain things. You could file an I-130 petition for alien benefits if you've got a relative, or you could file a labor certification, an ETA 750, by April 30th, 2001.
Well, I understand that, but I thought you were saying that somehow you couldn't even commence the proceeding. Yes, it would be stayed, but I thought you said you couldn't even begin the proceedings.
They could have started the proceedings, and in fact they did. Our position is
all right, so you're
that
objecting
they should
to
not
starting
have.
The, you're just objecting to, you just want to stay until all these things are completed.
That, yes, he should have been allowed, the government should have finished its processing of his application prior to their removal. He had done everything he could, everything he was required to do under 245I. It was then up to the government, who was sitting on his application. It was their obligation to finish their processing. Instead, the government has said, if you do this, you can be adjusted. You can get your green card. The government instead says, we're going to throw you out, even though you've done everything you have.
We understand. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cordell. Huh. Mr. Pettinato?
Could I add one more point,
no.
Your Honor?
Look,
and part of that is a change of policy. Because
now, what do you say? Your time has run out. Now, what do you
I'm
want?
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize, Your Honor.
Mr. Pettinato?
Please, the court, Barry Pettinato appearing on behalf of the respondent, John Ashcroft.
I'd like to ask you real quickly something that's been bothering me. Are you arguing that this court could never have jurisdiction over a denial of a continuance?
Well, that's what
if the denial was based on a constitutionally impermissible reason, such as a person's political speech, wouldn't we possess jurisdiction to review it even though it's a discretionary matter?
Perhaps, Your Honor, if there was indeed a constitutional interest somehow buried in the context of an immigration judge's denial for good cause, that would be
and
a very, very rare...
And that means the statute that you're relying on doesn't really say we have absolutely no jurisdiction. It just means that there has to be a very good reason to...
Well, the statute I'm relying on, Your Honor, in 242A2BII, which the Eighth Circuit relied on, talks about decisions that are entirely within the discretion of the Attorney General.
But the Attorney General's discretion is limited, as you've just conceded, because the Attorney General can't say, I never grant continuances for people from Islamic countries, or the Attorney General has limitations. And that's what we always understand in terms of discretion. Now, maybe in the case before the Eighth Circuit, there was no possible way that one could have said the Attorney General was acting outside those rather generous boundaries. But jurisdiction is a rule, is a word that gets thrown around quite a bit. Well, when in fact it really means this is just not a case where we're going to interfere.
Well, Your Honor, essentially what was issued at issue in the Eighth Circuit's decision is whether this court could review the attorney general's decision, in this case the immigration judge's decision, to grant or deny a continuance for good cause. That's exactly what was at issue in the Eighth Circuit case. There also the issue was an underlying visa petition, just as it is here. So this is factually distinguishable from the case in the Eighth Circuit. However, both of them involved continuances for the approval of visa petitions. Well, this case actually is one step removed, as Judge Wood, you appreciate. This, there was no visa petition in this case that was ever
waiting for approval. But I would like you to respond to Mr. Croteau's statement. You've made a big deal of that, but if under the regulations it was impossible for him to file a proper visa petition until he had the DOL certification, then it's pretty hard to criticize him for not filing the visa petition, which would have been rejected as insufficient.
I think that's not the right way to view this case, Your Honor. I think we need
clarify that point first.
Well, to back, just I will, Your Honor.
Please.
To back up, though, I mean, just in terms of, let me explain how 245I works.
Let me make it as simple as possible. Did he do everything in a timely fashion that he should have done to get his adjustment
What 240
well,
yes
answer
no.
the question.
Did he do everything possible?
That he was able to do.
In a timely fashion to try to get his status.
He did. He preserved his preserved his potential eligibility for under 245.
That's right. So 245 says you have to file. It doesn't say anything about your application has to be approved by April 30th.
Right.
And so the government's position is that it can really just modify Section 245 by saying we're going to remove people from the United States even though they filed, because we can sit on any application for somebody that we want to remove anyway.
No, Your Honor, I think that's a fundamental misunderstanding of what 245 actually does.
245 says filed, right? You agree with that?
245I allows a wide range of people to file, because 245 was about to sunset, so there was a date. And then he preserved his eligibility.
He did what he could do, and he couldn't have filed the visa application that was the next step in the process until the first step was done.
Right. That's
so we can't criticize. That's off the table. We can't
right.
criticize him for not having the approved visa application, too, which was impossible for him to do.
There's two processes going on here, Your Honor, though. One,
and that's why I asked whether they operated in tandem or whether they operated sequentially, and you've agreed they operate sequentially.
Well, the big world of people, the large subset of people under 245I are not in removal proceedings. This is a small subset of people that might be eligible under 245I to eventually adjust.
But
it's those people in removal proceedings.
But isn't this fellow involved in a real catch-22?
Why, Your Honor?
Well, because the IJ says, you know, eventually you may be able to require permanent resident status by virtue of your employment, but you can't demonstrate the eligibility because the application process is too complicated.
That's right.
And if you're forced to leave the country, you'll fail on a different prong of the eligibility because you won't be here, which is one of the other criteria.
Your Honor, if the court decides that they're not going to follow the Eighth Circuit's decision in terms of outright finding that they lack jurisdiction over the immigration judge's decision, then the issue before the court is, did the immigration judge abuse his discretion in denying the continuance? And here you're looking at the primary purpose of the role of an immigration judge is to find removability and adjudicate applications for release.
For denying the continuance?
He denied the continuance because he had already granted 2 6-month continuances
But if the time is for these applications, for this processing, this adjustment request is not under the control of Subban, how can he be blamed for the fact that he requires a third continuance?
Your Honor, it's because 245 does not in any way trump removal proceedings. That's the argument that they're essentially trying to make.
They're precisely making that argument that when Congress passed 245, that's a different statute that qualifies at least the timing of removal. The Illinois Department of Employment Security might have rejected his application, in which case the stay would be over, he'd be removed tomorrow. So it could have gone either way, but in order to allow 245 to work as intended, your opponent's argument anyway is that you have to, at least for these things not under Mr. Subban's control, you can't penalize him for that. You can't suddenly remove him and pretermit the entire process.
Your Honor, if I could give you an analogy that might help simplify this. There are many aliens that have potential relief out there. And I'll give you the illustration of somebody who has a preference visa. That's where a distant relative files, and there's a backlog of cases on that particular preference category. And it may take years before that visa eventually becomes current and they're able to have an immediate visa petition filed. And those types of people frequently come in front of immigration judges, and the immigration judges say, well, if you want to apply for adjustment of status, let me see. Is there a visa immediately available for you, which is the essential statutory requirement in 245I? If there is no visa petition available, an immigration judge isn't going to continue
a
case.
That's fine. But you're saying they apply a rule if there's no relative visa immediately available, out you go. That's fine. That's a rule. But here, the IJ granted him a year of continuances. So what's his rule? Is his rule that you get a year, and if the Illinois and federal, you know, labor departments can't get their act together in a year, out you go? That would be a kind of rule, too. That would be something okay. Or is it entirely arbitrary?
Your Honor, it's not a matter of that it's arbitrary. The immigration judge first gave him one continuance with the understanding that there would be no further continuance.
Why? What is the theory?
The theory is that many aliens come in and say, I might be eligible for something.
I know that. There's nothing special about this alien that he gets 12 months. Another alien would get 1 month. Another would get 2 years. Is that be making some judgment as to the likelihood that this person will get the adjustment?
Your Honor, that's part of an immigration judge's discretion.
So that's what he did. He made a judgment. This person, if he hadn't gotten it in 12 months, was unlikely to get it. Is that what he said? Something like that? How did he exercise his discretion?
He basically said at the grant of the first continuance, and this is reflected.
Okay, now why did he say you just get one continuance?
Because they asked for a continuance to see what would happen with the
list. But didn't give a reason for why just 6 months.
Maybe that was the next available year.
Did he give a reason is my question. Your answer
did
is no.
Did he give the immigration judge give a reason?
Yes.
It was.
Did he give a reason? You can answer that simple question.
Yes or no?
Did he give a reason?
He said yes. So
did he give a reason? Would you answer me, please?
I am trying to, Your Honor. Basically.
No, that's a yes or no question. He gave a reason?
Yeah, he gave a reason.
Okay, what was the reason?
The reason was you're asked for a continuance for 6 months so that you can see what happens in the Department of Labor in Illinois, and I'm going to give it to you. He granted it, but he said this is going to be your only one.
But that's discretion is one thing. Unbridled, bizarre, you know, choice.
What's bizarre here, Your Honor?
Oh, the fact that it couldn't be done in 6 months, obviously. And the guy had no control over that.
Your Honor, when he filed for under 245 to simply preserve that he might possibly be eligible under 245I down the road, that was no guarantee that once he was in removal proceedings that would ever come to fruition.
Well, that's actually the question before us. I mean, so we understand that that's the government's position. But
right, and you have an IJ who's saying you may, even after two continuances, he's saying you may be able to eventually acquire this. But, you know, you didn't. So, bye-bye, Subban.
Well, Your Honor, under their theory, cases could proceed in front of immigration judges. Proceedings could linger on for years. That's what
Depending
you're essentially advocating.
Depending how long the state authorities. Now, right. Certainly, if he has any culpability in this, he hasn't filed things that he should have
with
the state authorities, that's a different matter, of course. And there's no reason he should get a free ride on these things. But why is he responsible for sluggish state agencies?
He's responsible because he simply isn't eligible for the relief at the time he's in front of the immigration judge.
Even though the statute says you have to have filed by, not have it approved by.
Your Honor, that doesn't make you eligible for adjustment of status. All of the filing did was put him within the sunset date before the statute ended. It simply preserved his right to potentially be eligible down the road.
If he got a continuance. Without the continuance, he's eligible for nothing. He is gone.
As are many aliens in front of immigration
right.
judges.
Okay. Right. We get your position. Thank you very much. We have to move on. We have very short time. Next case for argument, and thank you to Mr.